Well, Andrew, if we were to dip into the state of Impact Wrestling, I think right now we can sum it up by saying we have a top babyface in an insane asylum, and another top babyface in the Knockouts division who is apparently now a heel because she sold her soul to a heel former manager. So does that sum things up for the most part?
Yeah, I think that's about where we're at in December of 2018. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So there's some other stuff going on. We'll talk about it. It is the PW Torch livecast for December 6th, 2018. A late Thursday night. Impact just went off the air. I'm Mike McMahon with Andrew Socek, and let's kind of break down this show. You can also shoot us an email, impactlivecast@gmail.com. If you haven't done so yet, you can do so. We'll get to emails in a little bit. Actually, you know what? Let's talk about one of the first things that we got emailed about this week's actually first, and we'll go and talk about the show later. But our friend Matt in Bakersfield, California, emailed us at impactlivecast@gmail.com, and he has a longer email that we'll read in a little bit. But he led things off with anything more on the LAX Evolve situation. If you missed it last week, it was one of the bigger stories in wrestling last week. LAX was pulled by Impact from an Evolve show, or two Evolve shows that were supposed to take place over the weekend, there was some controversy behind it. As far as I know, there was nothing more. I did see something, I think it was either Santana or Ortiz was tweeting today that they were on the road going somewhere. So my understanding is that the new talent contracts, that it has nothing to do so much with Impact not wanting them to go to Evolve because they're a WWE promotion, and all that stuff was kind of rumored to be the reason. My understanding, and asking around on this week, asking a lot of people this week, it sounds like, Andrew, that the new Impact contracts require talents to book all of their indie bookings through Impact Wrestling. Now, this could be problematic, and we could talk about this, but apparently the new contracts, which I don't know if LAX is on a new contract or not, but apparently the new contracts call for all of the independent bookings to go through Impact, and that's now a requirement. So I don't know if that was the reason why they were pulled. There were some people that speculated this week that was the reason why they were pulled. People also said that they may not like the fact that Evolve has such a close relationship with WWE, but it sounded to me like Impact may have been more concerned with the fact that they need to now control all of their talents' bookings. I still don't think it's a good look, but I guess has your opinion on that whole situation changed over the last week?
Yeah, I mean, I would assume that it really doesn't have anything to do with WWE. A couple months ago, Scott D'Amore was meeting with them, so he was trying to get something lined up. So I don't think that has anything to do with it, even though I believe the Street Profits were going to be involved in that match, a triple threat match. So, no, that's interesting to know, and I think we kind of speculated last week that was probably the issue. So, yeah, unfortunate. I mean, it was good publicity for Impact, and they could sure use more of that. They would have only made a little bit of money comparatively from that match, I would think. So I don't know why they would do it unless it's I mean, they're not going to make that much money off of it. I just think the publicity for them would have been better.
Yeah, it doesn't look good to me. I mean, for a company in management that has been so open with talking about how they were going to do things differently and they weren't going to own their wrestlers anymore and they were going to be able to keep their gimmicks when they leave the company and we want to work with all these other promotions. You know, this is an indicator, at least to me, that that's all talk. I mean, this is the way that Impact is run back when it was TNA. Like, they can sit there and say, no, we don't own our talent. We're going to let them keep their gimmicks. Well, if they have to go through you for all of their independent bookings, that's owning them. Like, I'm sorry, but that's exactly what you're doing. That's not operating in a new way at all. That's doing things the old way, which you know, as a company have claimed doesn't work anymore or isn't necessary. It sounds to me, and I've talked to a lot of people this week about this, people that have tried to book Impact talent, people that have booked Impact talent, and it sounds very much to me like it's they say one thing, but in reality they're operating in another way. And that as someone who covers Impact, is frustrating to me because, you know, it makes me kind of trust less of what – it makes me not trust any of what they're doing, quite frankly. And like you said, I just – I don't understand the need to control all of their talent's independent bookings. This is not 2008. They're not being watched by a million people. They're not quite frankly, I'm assuming they're not paying their talent – you know, a substantial enough amount of money where it can be a full-time job for many of them. A lot of them need outside independent bookings. So if they're truly independent contractors, you might care where they work, but you really have no say or control over it. And if I'm a talent who's big enough to be able to get my own independent bookings, I would be scared off by signing all of that control over to Impact Wrestling, if that's truly what they're requiring. Because if I'm a Brian Cage, for example, or a Pentagon, for example, they don't need Impact. They don't need Impact at all. So if you're going to put a piece of paper in front of their face and says, well, we're going to control all of your outside independent bookings, if I'm Pentagon, if I'm Phoenix, if I'm Brian Cage, I'm saying, okay, well, good luck, guys. I'm out of here, because they don't need Impact. They don't. And maybe in 2010, there were guys who needed Impact Wrestling because the show was on in front of a million people. They were getting paid, you know, a six-figure salary to be on the show. That's not the case anymore. So it to me, it's like you got to realize who you are, and you can't be requiring this stuff from your talent. I mean, there's no reason why they should have that much control over anybody, given the state of where they are as a company.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I agree with basically everything you just said. I mean, back in the day, there were wrestlers who could basically make a full-time living off of just Impact. You know, not everyone on the roster, but now I doubt there's that. I don't know if anyone could really do that at the moment.
Yeah, most of these guys, I mean, I'm trying. I mean, I can't think of anyone really that I would even say is on a... Is anyone making six figures? I would be very surprised to learn that anyone, including even somebody like Johnny Impact, was making a six-figure salary.
He would be my only guess. And maybe I'm off. Maybe Moose from a couple years ago maybe signed a better deal.
But I mean, you got to think about it. These guys are working, like, at most for Impact itself. 50 or 60 dates a year. I mean, they're shooting 3 days of television tapings, maybe once every 3 weeks. So let's say they actually tape one episode per week on average, right? If they do a taping, if they tape three episodes every 3 weeks or something like that, let's say they have 52 television taping dates. You throw in a couple of pay-per-views. I mean, you're talking like 55 or 60 dates. For a guy to be making six figures on 55, 60 dates, you're paying him, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of $1,500, $1,600 a date per day. I don't know. I think that's high to me.
I would assume so as well. And the other point I think is a fair one is that they shouldn't be angering wrestlers at all at this point in time, especially due to All Elite Wrestling potentially coming into existence very soon here. And if they want to build any sort of loyalty with the members of their roster, they should be going out of their way to help them out. Otherwise, I'm assuming All Elite is going to have probably exclusive contracts. So if they piss off wrestlers,
they get some money, so they could do that.
Yeah, so if they're going to piss off wrestlers, I could see a fair number of them jumping ship, especially if they cannot make a comfortable living with Impact and have to supplement that with other indie dates. Sure. And Impact is getting in the way of that.
Yeah, and we don't know what AEW is going to be either. I mean, we talked last week, I think we said this, where the Young Bucks and that group of guys aren't taking independent bookings in the first half of 2019. So that says to me that they're probably going to be on some type of exclusive deal, or they're going to want their other wrestlers on some type of exclusive deal, which, you know, again, with a billionaire behind them, they can do that. You know, they could go after a core of 6 to 8 guys and pay those guys $150,000-$200,000 a year. They could have the potential to do that because of the fact that they have so much money behind them. Now, who knows how much money is going to be allotted towards the wrestling company end of it? We don't know. But if they wanted to spend a lot of money on this project, the Khan family has a lot of money. So you would think that's an option there. And like you said, you're now potentially alienating talent. I mean, it looks like LAX was actually booked somewhere else this weekend. That who knows what the case was there. I mean, was this a case of they didn't get the Evolve booking through Impact? They did it on their own, and then Impact booked their own independent booking for LAX somewhere else, and that was where the conflict came in? Who knows? But I don't know. It's just I've got a real uneasy feeling about this. It's just, especially when you're the company that's claiming to want to change the way wrestling works, and there's no reason to be so proprietary over your talent anymore. To have something like that come out just doesn't look good for the company at all. And it should be worth noting, it's been a week now, so I don't mind saying this. Last Friday, as part of our, to report on our show, to report on the Torch, I reached out to Impact Management through their media relations department, said, hey, Gabe Sapolsky, Evolve Wrestling, released a statement. Do you have a response? And that was the response I got. Crickets. Didn't hear anything. So if they had a viable defense, I think they would have been maybe more forthcoming in presenting that defense, but that did not come. So that may tell you all you need to know.
Interesting. Yeah, I was thinking if they did have some sort of good defense that they should throw it out there. Just like, hey, you know, we have this deal. They signed the deal. It's unfortunate. Maybe in the future we can work something out. But just at this point in time, they were double booked or whatever it is.
Exactly. And I wanted to be fair because I was ripping them to shreds on Twitter last Friday. And I said, you know what? I've got to do the right thing here. Let's give them a chance to respond. So I reached out. I said, I sent them the statement that Evolve released. And I said, I'm sure you've seen this, but here's the statement. You have an opportunity to respond to this. You know, if anyone would like to call me, here's my cell number. Did the whole thing. Never got a response. So you would think if it was as simple as, hey, they booked their own independent booking, the independent bookings have to go through us, we had them double booked on another show, so contractually they needed to honor the bookings that we made for them. That's a simple enough explanation. But we didn't even get that. So yeah, it's just, I don't know. Something just doesn't feel right about this when, if it was a very simple explanation where it would have appeared that they were in the right, I'm sure they would have been very forthcoming with giving out that information. Last year, when it looked like the company was going to go out of business at one point, and there were reports in Sports Illustrated that Anthem was looking to disinvest itself from Impact Wrestling. 3 days later, they launched the Global Wrestling Network. It definitely felt like a response to that news. There was no response to this at all this week. That, to me, is the weird part, because they didn't go out of their way to defend themselves.
Yeah, and it's weird because with the Matt Hardy situation and the broken trademark, they kept putting their side of the story out there repeatedly to the point that they published part of Matt Hardy's contract and threw that out there. So it is a bit odd that they're not talking at all. Anthem must have some sort of PR department, but I guess they're just wanting to hope fans forget instead of trying to address it hands on, which just seems like a poor strategy to me.
Yeah. I mean, we get emails every week from Impact Wrestling Media Relations. You and I both do about their weekly interview opportunities and press availability before pay-per-views and all this other stuff. And to not get a response, like I said, just says to me that the response that they could have given, the actual truth, probably didn't shed put them in a very good light, and they didn't want to say anything at all. You know, the option is say something that makes us look bad or don't say anything at all, then you don't say anything at all. If the options are, look, we have a completely, you know, reasonable reason why we did this, and it's going to make us look good if we, you know, express that perfectly reasonable reason, then you express that perfectly reasonable reason and you let people judge the way they want to judge, but you know you're in the right, especially where, like you said, there's examples of that in the past. They thought they were right with the whole Hardy situation, and they were not shy about being forthcoming about it. This, they've been completely silent on. And I'm sure, I mean, let's be honest here, I'm sure I wasn't the only one that reached out to them looking for some type of comment. I'm sure everybody was, and nobody, they haven't made any type of statement at all. You know, it very much feels like they're saying one thing but operating in another way, and that makes me feel uneasy. I'm sure it would make a potential talent, current talent, and a potential talent feel uneasy as well.
Mm-hmm. I think so, too. And just due to the fact that they can't, again, like, cannot sign wrestlers to six-figure deals. They're not going to have a full roster of them. You know, there's so many promotions out there. MLW, AEW, that it's going to be hard to convince, like, a top-tier free agent to go to Impact if they're doing stuff like this. So not a good move, I would say.
Searching for more great pro wrestling talk? Then join me, Jason Powell, host of the free weekly Pro Wrestling Boom podcast. Each week, you'll hear the latest news and analysis from me and my team at ProWrestling.net, along with other pro wrestling media members. Plus, the Pro Wrestling Boom podcast features long-form interviews with notable names in the pro wrestling industry. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Downcast, and all your favorite secondary apps, or visit us directly at PWBoom.com. Once again, that's PWBoom.com.
Okay, let's get to emails. Let's get to running down the show. Then we'll get back to emails, and we will talk a couple of other things, too. You mentioned MLW. I went down an MLW rabbit hole this week, and I want to talk about how they use some of the Impact talent, because, quite frankly, I think they use Impact's talent better than Impact does. But we'll get to that in a little bit. Again, if you want to email the show, impactlivecast@gmail.com. You can email us during the show if you're listening live, and we'll get to your email on the air. If you're not listening live and you want to email us during the week, if you're listening to this over the weekend and something pops in your head, email us. We'll get to it on our next show. Even if you email us, you know, Friday morning and we've got a week to wait, we'll still get to it on the following week's show. Let's run down this week's episode of Impact Wrestling, though. They opened with Jay Crist defeating Willie Mack in an Ultimate X qualifying match. This was an Ultimate X qualifying match because, of course, Brian Cage vacated the X Division Championship when he challenged and cashed it in to challenge Johnny Impact for the world title at the upcoming Homecoming pay-per-view. What did you think of this opener? I thought the match itself was fine, but I still question what the hell are they doing with Willie Mack, because it seems like he has been nothing but a complete and total afterthought since he debuted at Bound for Glory.
Yeah, I was figuring we were going to have the exact same thoughts here. The match itself.
It's funny how that works out, but you and I, that happens a lot.
Yeah. I enjoyed the match. I think Jake Crist is a great talent in the ring. He's a lot of fun to watch. But yeah, I just would not have booked this match at all. I would rather see Willie Mack in that match at the pay-per-view instead of losing once again, because I think his winning record, it's probably 1-4. I could be off a little bit, but yep, yeah.
So,
not so hot. Just another a waste of his talent. And I know later in the night they had a bit of an excuse how he's going to be in Rich Swann's corner next week, but that just doesn't make up for it to have him keep losing time and time again, which is a weird thing they do, because they did that with Tessa as well, as she was.
That's right.
Yeah, I was thinking of that tonight while watching her. Like, she lost a bit of her matches coming in, and Ethan Page, this is his first big win tonight. So for some reason, they make a lot of these guys and men and women just lose and lose and lose until they actually do something with them.
It reminds me of something that WWE did back in like the early to mid 90s, where they would take a guy, that they'd have him debut, they'd give him a good push out of the box, like, you know, maybe 1 or 2 month decent push, and then all of a sudden they would just job the guy out just to see how he reacts. Like, it was like this weird, like, mental screw with their mind type thing, where we're gonna job just to see how they react, see if they're professional about it when we tell them they have to lose. And it was this weird, like, mental thing where Vince didn't want people to complain about having to do jobs, but at the same time, if you didn't complain about having to do a job, he would sit there and go, well, what's wrong with this guy, you know, why doesn't he care? It's like, no matter what you did, you were wrong. I wonder if there's a little bit of that at play, because you're right, they seem to do it with everyone. The only new talent I can think of that's debuted this year that hasn't had that type of booking was probably Brian Cage, right?
Yeah, I mean, I know Pentagon won the title his first time in, but he's kind of a... Him and Phoenix
they both have
500 records.
Down, yeah. Yeah.
There's nobody that just like wins the majority of their matches except for Brian Cage, really.
I may have to screw up him by having him lose.
Yeah, and he was the one guy that should basically have never lost.
Like, think of it, how much better that world title at Homecoming. That
if
right now we were looking at Johnny Impact against an undefeated Brian Cage, who's and now you're the middle of the beginning of January when this match happened. So it would be the guy who's been here for a year. He hasn't lost. He's undefeated. He was the X Division champion. He cashed that belt in to get this title. How much bigger? How much more exciting would that match feel if it was the undefeated Brian Cage, who's been undefeated for a year and he's going after the world title instead of just it's Brian Cage? Yeah, he's a machine.
It would be great. I mean, at the time we were saying how idiotic it was. He lost to a count out to Matt Sydal. And then Sami Callihan didn't get anything out of it. That could have easily been a 2-3 month program. And then all it did was main event an episode of Impact that not that many people watch. They agreed completely. Like, this match would be so much more intriguing with that still intact.
One thing, too, I want to hit on before we continue running down the show, because you brought up a good point where you said not many people watched. One thing that's driving me crazy, and I understand why they're doing it, it's driving me nuts. In the last week, I've heard probably two or three different interviews with Impact talent or Impact people where they say that the ratings don't matter anymore and the viewership yep. doesn't. And it's like, yeah, you know why they're saying it? Because their viewership sucks. Like, that's why they're saying it. They can sit there and say that ratings don't matter and viewership doesn't matter when they're drawing 100,000 people. I want them to say the same thing. If magically this week's episode was watched by 800,000 people, don't tout that on Twitter tomorrow. Don't sit there and say, oh, we had the most viewership in 3 years. Like, don't. Well, the viewership doesn't matter. So I get why they're doing it. They're doing it because their viewership is very good. And they're making excuses and saying, oh, well, there's DVR viewership. All that stuff is true. Like, I get it. It's all very true. But to sit there and pretend like viewership does not matter. Oh, it's 2000. I heard Josh Matthews say it on Sam Roberts' podcast. I heard Ethan Page say it on the media podcast that Impact did last week, I think, as well. That's probably why it's sticking in my craw right now, but just because I've heard it so recently in close together. But it's like pretending that, oh, well, there's DVR, and sometimes people just watch the highlights on YouTube. Which is what I think Josh Matthews said on Sam Roberts' podcast. And again, that's true. That's how I watch Raw. But that's not a good thing.
Right, yeah.
The fact that someone would rather watch your show in two-minute increments on YouTube is because they don't want to invest 2 hours in watching it live on the air. That's a problem. Like, that's not a good thing. And to sit there and go, well, that's just how people can – you're making an excuse if you just go, well, that's how people consume television nowadays. For some people, yeah, that's – I'm not going to argue that. That's the case with some people for sure. But if you were giving people something that they felt they needed to watch every week, their ass would be sitting down at 10 o'clock every Thursday night watching Impact Wrestling instead of going, I'll watch it whenever on my DVR, or I don't need to care. I'll just watch it on YouTube tomorrow. That's driving me insane, because while it might not be the sole indicator of business the way it was in 1999, it's still a pretty good indicator of who cares about the show. And the fact that they're just so willfully ignoring it is because their numbers aren't very good. That's what it boils down to.
It's such a stupid claim on their part. If a million people were watching this show still, wouldn't their paychecks be bigger? Or does that not matter, too? Is it all just completely made up and nothing matters? You can't say to go from 400,000 to 120,000 people matter. You know, it doesn't matter. Of course, TV ratings matter. They might not get that $1 million a year next year from Pop TV, and I'm guessing they're not going to. And why? Because they are not getting the same ratings that they used to a couple of years ago, because people aren't watching. So it matters a lot. they may be able to make it up in other ways, but a YouTube view isn't equal to a view of somebody watching it. It's just not the same. It's not as lucrative.
Exactly. That's 100% right. You're right on. I mean, that's the difference. What's worth more money, a 30-second ad on television or a YouTube ad? It's a YouTube. You can make money on YouTube. I know plenty of people make money on YouTube. It's not even close. I mean, it's not even close. So to sit there and pretend it doesn't matter is foolish. In my mind, it makes them look like idiots. Again, they're trying to put spin on it and hoping people are naive enough to go, oh yeah, it really doesn't matter. All they're, I mean, to me though, that's insulting as someone who's an audience member. It's like, no, I'm not that dumb. I know that it matters, and they know that it matters too. And trying to pretend it doesn't is insulting to my intelligence, and it should be to everybody who's listening to this show and watches Impact on a weekly basis. They think you're dumb enough to actually believe that. It's what companies do. Like, I understand it. They're not going to sit there and admit that, you know, their show's watched by a tenth of the people it was watched by 5 or 6 years ago. That's not going to be good for business. That what you do is you just ignore it. Like, you just don't talk about it. Don't just mm-hmm. don't. So think about this. They won't defend themselves about the LAX Evolve thing, but they will so just get out in front and try to defend themselves on this ratings thing, which doesn't make any sense at all. It's fascinating their response to things. I'm having a hard time understanding it.
I just don't know why they aren't. You know, you can be honest, but still tweak it or spin it in your own way. Like, exactly. I mean, just be like, hey, you know, less people are watching, but we do have the YouTube views and we're encouraged by that. And we think in the future we're putting out good content. So those people are going to come back and watch us live, and especially if we get a better time slot, something like that. But they instead pretend that like 200,000 people no longer watching live. No big deal. Who cares?
All right, let's move on with this show. We talked about the opening match. Allie, the soulless Allie, remember, she sold her soul to James Mitchell. So she doesn't have a soul anymore. She beat Heather Monroe. I wrote in my PWTorch.com report, if you're into this sort of thing, you love this segment. If you're not into this sort of thing, you hated it. There doesn't seem to be much gray area here, and that's kind of what it feels like. You either probably really like this, or you probably are like me and didn't like it very much at all.
Yeah, it was dumb. there's other ways to do this stuff. I mean, instead of going to supernatural realms and stuff like that, you could just have Allie be intrigued by Sue Young and her lifestyle. And then Sue Young gets into her head and makes her, you know, think she can turn her career around or welcomes her to the dark side. Like, you don't have to put in superpowers and stuff like that. And that's what this angle has been built off of. So it's just hard to get invested. Once again, poor Akira Hogan having to do this stuff. And yeah, as soon as they come out, I just kind of mentally check out because it doesn't make any logical sense. Because if they have superpowers, why not just use it in the ring and win every single match?
Good point. And let's not forget, too, that this is the same character that, like, what, 2 years ago was running around going, Miss Maria, and had never wrestled in her life and all this other stuff. And now she's sold her soul and is.
Where's Jim Mitchell anyways?
Well, he doesn't need to be around. He got her soul. That's what he wants.
He has her soul and he's just like chilling. And
he must have a collection of souls for all we know.
He has
a soul box. He keeps all his souls in there.
Oh man, I wish they would just like plan an end game, because what is it? Is Jim Mitchell going to wrestle Kira Hogan for Allie's soul on a pole or something?
It's the soul on a pole match.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, that's right, bro. All right, I got a kick out of him tonight too on Twitter. Vince Russo put something about he had the plan to fix Vince's company, but he doesn't want to work for him anymore. But Vince can hear it if he signs up for his Patreon. I'm like, oh yeah, and I'm sure he will, Vince.
He over at PW Podcast, he was on. It was the Dirt Sheet Writers versus Vince Russo, and Vince claimed that he could bring up Raw's ratings to what it once was. So magically, 5-6 million people are going to come back. okay, all right.
Yeah. I mean, Eddie Edwards is in the mental institution.
Yeah.
Not Vince Russo. But if you want to hear someone go insane on a podcast, you can listen to Vince Russo, because
there you go.
It seems to be what he's been doing. Okay, next up, the Desi Hit Squad beat Damian Hyde and Manny Lemons. It's a real name. Oh, and he ate lemons, too. That's how he helped up, by eating some lemons. I wrote after this match, if you fell asleep, I wouldn't blame you. It's 10:42 p.m. on the East Coast, and here's a ho-hum basic match with a guy eating lemons. This is like 1996 WWF. yeah, I thought this was pretty bad. Just do a squash match. I mean, if you want to put the Desi Hit Squad over, that's fine. Put him over in a squash match. You don't need the guy eating lemons and throwing. It reminded me of who's the guy that like ate that. There was a Survivor Series where one of the guys like pigged out on turkey, like a big fat guy ate turkey in the middle of the match. Bastion Booger.
Yeah.
The lemons weren't as messy as Bastion Booger was during the Survivor Series, but just this whole idea of I'm going to eat lemons and hulk up because of it. Like, it's all right. Just whatever. It's not funny. It's stupid.
Yeah. That's like as indie as it gets.
Hey, if you're a fan of the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, which you obviously are if you're listening to this right now, check out Solomonster Sounds Off. It's a weekly show covering all the latest news in the world of wrestling, from WWE to Lucha Underground, New Japan, and everything in between, plus listener Q&A, rankings, and more. Check it out in iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or download directly from thesolomonster.com.
The match itself, I guess I like this version of the Hit Squad better than the last one.
I'll say that. I agree.
Yeah, but it's never going to work. I mean, Gama Singh is terrible on promos. They still play the group for laughs. It's never going to. They could never, I think, in this form, have a serious program with, say, LAX. Nobody would buy it. So they're just kind of wasting their time trying to make this work, because there's only four teams. So. I mean, they're going to have to go for the belt sooner rather than later.
That's exactly, yeah. Mackenzie Mitchell interviewed Katarina backstage. She said that Jordynne Grace has two lucky wins against her, and Katarina brought out her new friend, Ruby Reyes. Mackenzie Mitchell ran off. Katarina said that Ruby Reyes was her friend, but she would be Jordynne Grace's nightmare. Do you know much about Ruby Reyes? I don't know much about her at all, other than what I've seen online, but this could be good. You know, I don't think that this is a bad addition, assuming it's a long-term addition, and I'm at least enjoying that they're playing out some type of story here with Katarina and Jordynne Grace, and it wasn't just matches for the sake of matches.
I had never heard of her before, and to me I was assuming it was going to be a one match deal, just like they did when they were in AAA.
Yeah, that could be.
Or in Mexico. I assume she'll show up next week. She'll beat her in a couple minutes and that's it. But maybe they'll do more with, I mean, God, same with Murder Clown too. That guy never showed up again after, I guess, murdering Grado. No, Joe Hendry. There we go.
Yeah. Somebody died. I don't remember.
A lot of people died. Yeah.
Richie almost died.
Oh man. That was a traumatic one. What a year.
Those best of episodes, man, at the end of December are going to be great stuff.
That's so much good stuff this year.
Are they going to have a tribute thing like they do with the Oscars? Like, these are all the people we lost this year. Joe Hendry, Richie.
All the undead bridesmaids.
All the undead bridesmaids. Yeah. Ellie's soul. I hope so, too. We just gave them an idea. If they do take it, I mean, I don't even think we'll charge them at this point. They can just have it.
No, they can. They should be taking our ideas.
You won't get an argument from me. They aired the GWN Moment of the Week. It featured Bully Ray, Chris Sabin, Hulk Hogan. It was from a time and era where people actually attended the television tapings. That's what I wrote on my report. It's just like that to me, honestly. Like, it's kind of depressing, is it not?
Yeah. Like, 100%. Yes.
That shot of the promo with Sabin, Hogan, and Bully Ray, and then the match at Destination X that year, that was like, I don't know, looked like 4 or 5, maybe 6,000 people in those arenas. That wasn't that long ago. Like, it wasn't 1998. It wasn't 20 years ago, like the Attitude Era. That was like 5 years ago, like 6 years ago. It really was not such a long time ago that things were a lot bigger.
Yeah, it made me sad. I mean, and again, better production. People in the crowd looked excited. They were into the program. I'm assuming they didn't get in for free. I did not like Chris Sabin's title run at the time, but watching this, I was like, huh, yeah, I'd rather have that going on than this. So, yeah, and well, that thing went on way too long, too. That felt like 7-8 minutes for
yeah,
a recap.
It did. I think that, I'm trying to look that up here. I think that was 2013.
Oh, that was 5 years ago?
So that was only 5 years ago.
Holy crap.
5 years ago was not that long ago. Like, that's the thing. That's the thing.
Yeah, it feels like that was 10, 12 years ago in my mind.
I mean, 2013 was, I mean, WrestleMania is going to be back in New York this upcoming year. 2013 mm-hmm. was the first time that it was at MetLife Stadium. Like the second Rock Cena match, that was 2013. That's not that long ago.
No.
Yeah, Undertaker CM Punk, which was a pretty good match.
Oh, yeah.
That was 2013. Again, like not that long ago. So it really wasn't that long ago, yet it seems like it was, you know, lifetimes ago when you compare that product to what the product looks like now.
Well, and then every single person in that segment, Sabin, Bully, Hogan, all of Main Event Mafia, all of Aces and Eights, I don't think a single person in all of that is still with the company.
No. Yeah, no.
Not one out of 12 people.
Now, granted, I mean, we should also throw in the caveat that they were losing money hand over fist at that point in time.
Yeah.
You know, Panda Energy was subsidizing. I mean, Spike was helping subsidize the company. Panda was obviously injecting money into the company on a more consistent basis. So it was... They were operating in a different world, but it is. It's a stark contrast when you see what it looked like then and what it looks like now. I don't know. I mean, again, it goes back to, like, if you have something good, if you have a good excuse of why you pulled LAX, you say what your good excuse is, or you don't say anything at all. Like, to me, it's the same thing with these segments. If you have video that makes yourself look good, you air it. If you have video that makes yourself now look like an indie company compared to what, you know, it looked like a national company 5 years ago, now it looks like an indie company, you're probably just better off not airing it at all.
Yeah, especially if... those reports from our email are that they're only selling 2,000 subscriptions.
Yeah.
If that's true, yeah, don't remind us that things used to be better, because WWE will do it. But, man, I mean, they still had big stars. They still had excited arenas. So you could be nostalgic and be like, well, it's still big. But, man, yeah, when it's I just look at that stuff and I'm like, man, 90% more people.
It looks like a different company.
Or 900%, I don't know, more bad at math.
Yeah,
10% of the people watch yeah. it that used to at that time.
I mean, it literally looks like a different company.
It does, yeah, it does.
It looks like a completely different company. Mackenzie Mitchell interviewed Eli Drake and said that Abyss challenged him to a Monsters Ball match at Homecoming. They aired a new Rascals promo. Scarlett Bordeaux was involved. The Rascals wondered how there was a fourth chair there. She said that they should become involved in her talent search. I like this match a lot. Ethan Page beat Matt Sydal to qualify mm-hmm. for the Ultimate X match. I thought this was a really good match. I mean, Page hasn't been featured a whole lot in the show. He's still relatively new to the program. I thought this was his best showing in Impact, including, I mean, the stuff with Joseph Park when he was Chandler Park wasn't, you know, all that memorable. But just with his time in the company, I mean, this was kind of the coming out party for him. I thought this was the best match that he's had. I thought Matt Sydal looked good. To me, like, I thought this was the match of the night. The main event was okay. This match impressed me. I thought it was better than I expected it to be. And for me, really stood out as being the match of the night.
Agreed. I mean, overall, this was probably the best show in weeks, a month or so. I can't remember the last time that I thought it was like, yeah, that was not bad.
You know, I agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and this was one of the reasons why I was just like, there was less nonsense tonight. Even the Rascals scene was pretty short and harmless. And yeah, a couple good matches on the show. And yeah, Ethan Page, I think they need to get these two guys away from each other, which I'm assuming they're going to. That would be a good start. And yeah, impressive stuff from both guys. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
They aired a video of Eddie Edwards in the Insane Asylum. He was playing chess with Raven, who was also in the Insane Asylum, although Raven said he checked himself in. Eddie said that he was committed and he can't be there. Raven told him it's nice here, and he checks himself in once a month. Raven said he took a guy's wife and a kid once, referring to Sandman. Raven also said that Edwards hasn't gone far enough. He stole Eddie Edwards was complaining that Alicia thinks he's gone too far with Moose, and Raven said that Edwards hasn't gone far enough. Raven stole a key card from a nurse and gave it to Edwards. Edwards told Raven, "I owe you one," and Raven said, "Yeah, you do." That was the end of the segment. So I'm assuming that Eddie Edwards breaks out of the insane asylum. He probably returns maybe in front of the crowd next week, and I'm thinking that this was not the last we've seen of Raven. Just the way he said, "Yeah, you do," makes me think that Raven will show up at some point again, because they seem to have been dropping a tease that he may not be done with Eddie Edwards.
And this is where I lose all objectivity, because Raven's like my favorite wrestler of all time. So, so I had to mark out.
I'll say this too. Like, if you're going to put a wrestler in an insane asylum, Raven fits, especially if you're going to have the guy say he voluntarily commits himself every month.
Yeah.
Like, just for, that works with Raven.
So I hated this segment last week, and I completely understand if people hated it this week, but I was like, oh my gosh, is that Raven's voice? Oh, it's Raven. So that's, this pairing already, maybe this pairing will work. Maybe like it's already so bad, might as well toss him in and do some more stuff. Maybe he can turn it around. If some people think it's goofy crap, I can't really argue against it.
Do you think, I mean, now that they have them both on the roster, do you think they can help themselves, or do you think they're going to do another Raven Tommy Dreamer match at some point?
I thought that too.
It was the first thing that crossed my mind.
Yeah. And that's where I'm a hypocrite, because when I see Tommy Dreamer, I'm like, oh, Tommy Dreamer in 2018. Then I'm like, oh, yeah, Raven. All right. I don't know if Raven still wrestles, I guess. But I can imagine they'll cross paths at some point. Yeah. If he does stick around, maybe he'll have Eddie Edwards go after Tommy Dreamer or something.
Yeah.
It won't make sense, but.
After that, Conan was trying to broker something between LAX and the Lucha Brothers. They finally agreed they were going to have a match at Homecoming. Then they started to shove each other, and Conan completely lost his mind and said that that's what he didn't want. It was very weird because Conan was all excited. We're finally going to have this match. It's going to be great. We're going to tear the house down. We're going to show these guys what we can do. And then it was like, I forget who it was. It was Phoenix or Santana or somebody pushed somebody, and there was like a little bit of pushing, and then they were separated, and Conan just freaking snapped and was like, "This isn't what I wanted." But 2 seconds ago, they were going to tear the house down. I mean, I don't know. I'm completely lost and confused. 1 second, he couldn't wait for them to fight, and they were going to tear the house down. And then the next second, they were fighting, and it was the end of the world. So maybe he just didn't want them to fight until they got to the match. I have no idea. Do you have any clue at all about what's going on right now?
No.
All right, good. I'm not alone. I mean, I was lost for words there for a second too, but yeah, good. I wasn't alone.
Like, what was Conan expecting? If you have a Pentagon within 2 feet of anybody else's face, he's going to do that Cero Miedo thing. So, you know, he should have known that was coming and not freaked out like that.
You would think. He apparently knows him so well.
But I got a laugh out of that. Conan, I think, has been the best actor in wrestling that I've seen in 2018, but this was maybe just poor script and probably could have used another shot or more another explanation as to why he just lost his cool like that so easily. He looked like a kid, like a teenager that was upset for no reason.
It was like a kid that you say, you want ice cream? Yeah, I want ice cream, and ice cream's gonna be great, and we all love ice cream, and I can't wait to have that ice cream. It's gonna be fantastic. And then someone gives him the ice cream and goes, "I don't want vanilla." I mean, that's
I said this is gonna happen.
I said chocolate.
You guys are gonna push each other. I quit wrestling.
And then Ortiz looks at Santana and goes, "You always gotta take it too far." Like, why did you have to push him?
Like, yeah, I was like, what did I miss?
I thought I I don't know. I thought something was cut or something. All right. Mackenzie Mitchell interviewed Johnny Impact and Ty Valkyrie backstage, and then it was the main event. Johnny Impact and Ty Valkyrie beat Moose and Tessa Blanchard. After the match, this is where all the stuff happened, though. After the match, Moose speared Johnny Impact and set up Tessa to use a chair on Ty Valkyrie, but Killer Cross hit the ring, and he stopped Tessa from using the chair on Taya. Cross grabbed the chair, took it out of her hands, threw it out of the ring. Moose tried to talk to Cross, and they were, you know, trying to figure out. I think Moose was trying to figure out why Killer Cross was helping Taya Valkyrie. Brian Cage at the ring and went after both Cross and Moose. Cross sold the no-sold a German suplex from Brian Cage and then left the ring. And the show went off the air as Cage checked on Taya. Johnny Impact came in the ring, and then Impact and Cage had a stare down as the show went off the air.
You love pro wrestling podcasts, but you might not have time to listen to all of them. We'll help you decide which ones to listen to and keep you up to date on the ones you're missing at pwpodcasts.com. That website features written recaps of all of the top pro wrestling related podcasts, including Steve Austin, Bruce Prichard, Edge and Christian, and so on. Check it out. It's pwpodcasts.com, your home for written recaps of all pro wrestling personality hosted podcasts.
What'd you think of the main event?
I enjoyed the post-match angle more than I enjoyed the match. The match was fine.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I'm in total agreement. The match was fine, but the post-match angle was where all the action happened.
Yeah, I liked the intrigue of Killer Cross kind of, I guess, turning against Moose maybe, and just no-selling that move I thought was a pretty cool spot, how he got right back up and in Cage's face to kind of plant the seeds. For, I don't know, a couple months down the line, say if Cage wins the title soon. So I liked how the show ended overall, and I thought it kind of put things ended things on a good note for well, I shouldn't say for once, but it left the show on a good note.
All right, let's get back to emails, and then I want to talk a little bit about MLW to wrap up the show. But let's go back to emails. This one comes from our friend Matt in Bakersfield, California. He started the email at the beginning of the show where we talked about the LAX Evolve stuff, and he says, according to the Wrestling Observer Newsletter, one reason Impact pulled LAX from their Evolve appearance is because Impact sees Evolve as part of WWE right now. On top of that, they didn't want their tag team champions working on a streaming show that could end up on WWE Network, losing to guys who are developmental talents, the Street Profits, that WWE doesn't even view as one of its top tag teams. Understandable, but they don't have an issue with their guys losing on other pay-per-views, so I don't know why it would suddenly be an issue now. I mean, we talked about that last week. Their guys are on pay-per-views with other companies all the time. They're on other TV all the time. I mean, you can watch plenty of Impact talent on MLW on a regular basis that are losing matches, winning matches on TV, and they don't care. So why they would suddenly care about this, I don't know.
Yeah, agreed. Was it going to be a triple threat match, or am I mistaken?
Oh, that was the thing, too. So originally, I think it was one-on-one, and then in the Evolve statement, Gabe Sapolsky said that they had changed it to a triple threat to appease everyone politically. So it even seems like Evolve took a step to be like, okay, look, we get it. You don't want your champions losing. Fine. We'll make it a triple threat. That way, politically, everybody can get out of the match, you know, unscathed. And they still pulled them anyway.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. Just like, you know, I can kind of see a point there, but they could say you can have LAX, but they're not going to lose to the Street Profits because they're in your minor leagues, if that's how they want to frame it. But yeah, if they were going to throw in a third team, then that doesn't make much sense to me.
Matt goes on and says, I wonder, though, is this issue the same with the women? Shine Wrestling is essentially the sister promotion to Evolve. Sue Young, Kara Hogan, and Jordynne Grace are all part of major storylines in Shine Wrestling right now. Sue, who, by the way, is a face and an overface, that she is challenging for the Shine Championship against Allison Kay, who's formerly known as Impact's Sienna. Kara Hogan is part of a heel faction called the Cutie Pie Club. She's a lackey, but part of that top heel faction. And then Jordynne Grace is battling her former mentor, Lufisto. Heck, the Shine Wrestling event is the same weekend LAX is the same week that LAX is supposed to wrestle for Evolve. Then there's some referees he points out that have all reffed for Evolve in the past as well. And he says, now Impact has issues? Yeah, that does seem weird. Because, like we were just saying, I don't know that WWE necessarily has that relationship with Shine, even though Shine may have a relationship with Evolve. But another example of their talent on other TV, other streaming shows that they never have an issue with, but they had an issue with this one. It just seems like there's something else at play here.
Yeah, that's even more ridiculous than if they don't mind the heel face dynamics being different on a different show. I didn't know that. I know nothing about Shine.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. So that makes me think the entire situation is even more ridiculous then.
Matt goes on and finishes up his email by saying, one more thing, KM and Falaba recently put out a children's book titled Santa Claus is Coming to Brawl, and he's bringing KM and Falaba. I didn't know this was a thing, but I'm now going to find it. He says, I wonder if all Fala says in the book is ba. I hope so.
Oh, yeah. I'd be disappointed if he said anything else.
Exactly, yeah. He says, you guys are rocking, keep it going. Thanks for your time, Matt in Bakersfield. So thanks, Matt. Good to hear from you. Excuse me, I was in the middle of a cough. And then let's see, any more emails? We have another email from John, who's talking a little bit about Impact's TV future. He says, word is national TV networks don't have much interest in pro wrestling. WGN seemed like the most likely Impact option, but talks have slowed. At least two networks are waiting until they know where they stand with All Elite Wrestling as they are seeking a national TV deal. It seems plausible that Impact will need to wait until AEW signs for them to get a deal in place. Syndication on various local channels like Ring of Honor or running on Twitch, YouTube/Fight Network are options as well. Nothing earth-shattering. And he says, get some sleep, which we'll do afterwards. So, yeah, I mean, I guess, again, like, we've talked about some of their TV options. The syndication thing, I don't think, is a viable option for Impact. It's a viable option for Ring of Honor because Sinclair owns all those stations. So that makes it easy for them to be on and send to televise their show and syndication the way that they do. Mm-hmm. Running on Twitch or YouTube isn't going to make them any money, so I don't know why you would continue to produce a show just to air it on YouTube. They need a television deal. And John may be right in the sense that they may have to wait until AEW finds their deal, because AEW might be a more attractive piece in the marketplace. They're new, they're fresh. They're definitely, I think, a hotter act from a popularity standpoint. So they may need to find or wait until they sign a deal before they to quote Conrad terms of pronouns, pal. Impact may need to wait until AEW signs its deal to sign a television contract, because there might be networks waiting on AEW, which I get. But the other options, they may view them as options that they don't really seem like viable options to me. What about you? I mean, the syndication thing, Ring of Honor, it's easy for them because the same company that owns Ring of Honor owns all those networks. Impact isn't in that position, and running just on Twitch or YouTube is not going to make them any money. So that doesn't make a lot of sense either.
Unless they're just going to strip this company down completely and run in a 200-seat arena and get rid of everyone.
Yeah. I mean, at that point, if you're just running on YouTube, at that point, you are literally an independent company.
Yeah, there's just not enough money in that right now. Yeah, I mean, they do need to land on TV somewhere, as it's kind of been. They're going to be sticking around on Pop for at least the first few months of 2019, it sounded like. So I don't know if they just signed like a short-term extension with them. But I imagine they're probably not going to make too much money, because they're probably not going to get that 20. I think we figured it out to like 20,000 a week. They're probably not going to get that if they had to sign any sort of new deal. So as we say every week, they need to land somewhere and they need to get more money. And it's, you know, this just sounds kind of bleak to me.
Yeah, me too. We'll see. They've always found a way to survive. And that's the other thing. Josh Matthews said this with Sam Roberts last week as well. You know, there's always been this stigma about whether or not Impact was going to survive. And now we know that's the case. And like, he went out of his way to be like, now that's on solid footing. We know we're going to survive. So now it's just about how are we going to grow? And that kind of made me nervous. Like, if I was a talent, that would make me real nervous. If somebody who's semi high up in management is going out of his way to be like, no, we are not going out of business. When no one's really brought that up, before it was brought up all the time, but no one's really brought that up. And for him to so quickly be like, well, now we know we're never going to go out of business. We know that that's never going to happen. I don't know. I'm not saying they're going to, like, I'm not saying they're in danger of it, but it just seemed like a weird thing to be talking about, you know, when it's not like there's, I get it if there are reports out there about how they're potentially going under, but like, we haven't had reports like that out in a while, and they seem to be now defending themselves from news that doesn't even exist.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it seems that there should be reports of that out there, but there, there isn't. So maybe he knows something and they have some sort of pop deal that they can stick around for months more and look for another bigger home. But to me, I don't know, like we've been saying the past few weeks, it looks, you know, this has felt like bleaker than ever. when you factor in like AEW, you know, if they take off, they could sign anyone they want from Impact because they have infinite more money behind them.
Totally. All right. One last thing I wanted to touch on before we wrap up the show. And like I said, earlier this week, I went down kind of an MLW rabbit hole. I've watched a little bit of the show here and there, but I don't get being sports. So anything that I've had to watch has been only through their YouTube channel. I watched a lot of their show this week, knowing that on the 14th, a week from tomorrow or today, depending on when you're listening to this, they're going to be running a live show on BN Sports. Wanted to catch up on their product. Again, I've seen, you know, chunks of it here and there, but not really, I've never really settled down and watched, you know, 8 or 10 weeks in a row. So over the last week, that's what I did. I watched the last 10 weeks of MLW, and the biggest takeaway I have from watching their show is that they're doing everything that Impact should have been doing 2 years ago to really stand out. Like, honestly, Andrew, it's a lot of the stuff that we talk about all the time. They present themselves as a sport the way that we've said they should. You know, they'll go back to the media area where there's people holding iPhones that look like reporters interviewing talent. It's an excuse. So there's not just a talent cutting a promo backstage for no reason at all. Like, there's a reason for why they're there. They talk about how there's all these different fighting styles, and now we're going to have a match with this high flyer against this technical wrestler. They call the matches fights. They call the wrestlers fighters. Like, the more and more I watched the show, the more and more I was like, this is awesome. Like, this is exactly, this is exactly what I've always wanted. Really impressed, especially with their last like 10 weeks, which is what I've watched over the last, like I said, week or so. I thought it's been really good television. I thought they've booked the guys really well. The one main takeaway from watching Impact and then watching MLW is the buildings look better. Mm-hmm. The building they ran in Chicago, the last set of these tapings that are running now, looks great. It looks way better than anything Impact's run in recent weeks. There was a ton of people there. It was packed. It was loud. The crowd was hotter than the Impact crowd has been. I thought it looked just as good. Like, from a production standpoint, it looked just as good as Impact Wrestling, but the crowd was better. And then you kind of look at the way they use talent. Like, Rich Swann is on that show. Sami Callihan, I think, is on the live show coming up. Willie Mack has been on the show. Pentagon and Phoenix are on on MLW. Conan's on MLW. They use a lot of the Impact guys better than Impact uses the Impact guys. Like, you watch when they come out in front of the crowd for a match or whatever, like, they seem like bigger stars in MLW than they do on Impact Wrestling. And that kind of, like, that just spells it out. I mean, it's not a good thing. It's good for the talent, but It's very strange when you see a company that's theoretically smaller than Impact Wrestling from a monetary standpoint doing a better job with Impact's talent than Impact is.
Yeah, completely agree.
We know you're a pro wrestling fan, but you might like MMA too. And if so,
check out our sister site, MMAtorch.com, with live fight event coverage, including UFC pay-per-views, previews of all UFC and Bellator events, the daily news digest, exclusive columns, flashbacks, and much more. Check it out. If you're a fan of MMA, you'll be a fan of MMAtorch.com.
I'm glad you started to watch it. I've probably only seen 12, 15 episodes of the 30 some so far, but I've enjoyed it quite a bit, and I'm getting more hooked every time I watch it. So yeah, I mean, it's what I like is how they do, they build their universe, essentially their storytelling universe. Impact, it's all over the place. There's people capturing each other's souls, and then on the same show they try to get you, you know, and then they go to an insane asylum, and then they try to get you to care about a world title match. And like, correct me if I'm wrong, if there is anything I've missed, but it just seems like it's very reality based in MLW. You know, wrestlers talk right to the cameramen and say like, hey, are you filming this? Follow me, sort of stuff. So it like makes cohesive sense. And it's such a simple thing to do, but like WWE never does it. Like, it's just so refreshing to watch that. And it's nice to hear just like wrestlers take this seriously. There isn't a lot of goofy comedy, and they are, like you said, using Impact wrestlers better, which just makes it Impact feel repetitive.
Yeah.
Because if you could see them somewhere else and they're being used better, then you're kind of seeing the B version of that.
Yep. No, absolutely. Absolutely. And the whole presentation about it is so much better. Like you said, their storytelling's more consistent. Watching as much as I, and granted, I've crammed a lot of it into a short period of time, but everyone has been trying to recreate ECW since 2001. You know, everyone has been trying to recreate that specialness, I guess. I don't even know what to call it. This to me was the closest thing that I've kind of felt to ECW from 98 to 2001 has been watching the MLW shows this week. It's just, it's very similar. The way it's presented is very similar. The story, the realness to the storytelling is very similar. It's hard to put my finger on it exactly, but it just, I got the same feeling watching these MLW shows as I remember getting when I would watch ECW shows in like 97 or 98. And that may make some people upset that are diehard ECW fans, but really it did. Like, it just, there was a grittiness to it and a realness to it that just felt, it wasn't anything I've seen in a long time. And it's wrestling. It all looks the same. There's still matches happening in a ring. But they really make all of their matches feel important. You know, they talk about rankings. They talk about this guy needs to beat this guy to move up in the rankings. Or if this guy doesn't beat this guy, you know, he should beat him. So if he doesn't, who knows where he may fall in the rankings. I mean, they do such a good job of making everything in the show feel so important. Nothing feels like filler. Nothing feels like it's just a throwaway segment or a throwaway match. Everything that they do on the show. And the other thing, I mean, let's face it, too. The other thing, too, it's a one-hour show, so it's a lot easier to watch. But everything they do on the show has purpose to it. Everything that happens, there's consequences involved. Like, it's just, it's really, really well done. And I'm having a ton of fun watching it. And it's, honestly, like, I had more fun watching those shows this week than I did watching anything Impact's done since probably Slammiversary. Slammiversary was great. But I've enjoyed those MLW shows more than I've probably enjoyed anything Impact's done since then. And that's, we're talking like the last 6 months.
Yeah. I'm more excited to see Conan and Lowkey wrestle, even though it's, you know, not going to be a classic by any means, but I'm more excited to see them wrestle than I am any match that has shown up on Impact in quite some time. I like your ECW comparison, and I think it is kind of like what ECW would have evolved into, because there's no sexism, there's no chairs over the head.
Yeah
it's like the Paul Heyman bringing in like the Malenkos, Guerreros, just for some really good classic mat wrestling, and bringing in all these kind of like MMA type fighter guys. You know, this company has made me care about Simon Gotch.
Exactly.
Like,
I
could not stand him in NXT. I thought I was the dumbest gimmick, but I was like, wow, this is interesting. I want to see this guy get his and how he laid out his plan to get Tom Lawler beat up. So they're doing some good stuff. So if you know, people out there listening to us rant on Impact every week and you like those wrestlers, give it a shot, because a good portion of them are in that promotion and not being used so poorly.
I mean, they're doing really good things with Teddy Hart. Even Tommy Dreamer. I mean, Tommy Dreamer's not a young guy. And I think, you know, what they've done with Brian Pillman Jr. and Tommy Dreamer has been really good. They're going to have a Singapore Kane match at that live special next week. I mean, a lot of what they're doing is just, it's on point. And like I said, the biggest thing is just everything has meaning to it. Everything's happening for a reason. And you watch WWE, you watch, you know, especially Impact, and I don't feel like everything has meaning to it. And there's a coolness factor to the MLW presentation that Impact is lacking too. You know, I guess the biggest thing for me, especially watching Impact for as much as we have over the last 2 or 3 years, like there's no just goofy comedy for no reason.
Yeah. Yep.
There's none of it. You know, everything's treated like it's a serious sport, and the announcing's good. I think that Rick Bikini's good, and Tony Schiavone's, it's fun to hear him do wrestling again. Like it's just, it's good. It really is. It's I'm going to watch more and more of it. I'm trying to catch up. I mean, like I said, I've watched like the last 10 episodes, and over the course of the next week, I want to maybe do another 10 and hopefully get caught up on the whole run before next Friday. That's kind of my goal, even though I'm kind of watching the show backwards. But yeah, it's just I love it. I think it's great. And I would much rather be watching that show right now than watching Impact every week. I mean, if you had to give me a choice of you can only watch one of the two per week, which one would you watch? I would choose MLW, and honestly, it wouldn't even be any close. I mean, it's such a more enjoyable experience as a viewer, I think. And again, like part of that is the fact that it's only an hour, so you don't feel like it's taking up your whole life. But yeah, I really, really like it.
Yeah, I mean, like, again, I've only seen like maybe a dozen episodes, but I have not seen a dud one yet where I'm just like, well, that was a waste of an hour. like Impact, I feel on a fairly regular basis, just I'm bored. There's certain things at the show I have not seen a single thing in MLW that I've hated so far. Maybe there's been some crap that I haven't seen, but, you know, we can't go usually a week without ranting about something on Impact that was just idiotic and didn't need to exist. I'm with you. If I had the choice between the two, I would go MLW as well.
Pentagon and Phoenix are so much cooler on that show. They really are. I don't know why, but they're so much cooler on that show. They just come across as just, I don't know, just cooler characters than they do on Impact.
Yeah, and Lucha Underground used them a lot better, too. I don't know if they're ever coming back, but the way they portrayed those characters was great, too, and Impact is just, it's like hard to see why they're special.
Yeah, it's hard to kind of figure out what they're supposed to be about, whereas, like, with ML, there's no question about what they're about. You know. Yeah, I think everything about the way they present themselves is just really good. I like it a lot, and I look forward to watching more of it. So I wanted to just point that out because, A, if you're not watching it, you should be, and B, if you are fans of Impact Wrestling, and if you listen to the show, I assume you are, or either that or you just enjoy hearing Andrew and I complain. if you're a fan of several of the talents on Impact Wrestling, I think you'd really enjoy what MLW does. I like wrestling presented as a sport. Like, that's the biggest thing that I enjoy about it.
Yeah.
Like, there's no screwing around. Like, they present pro wrestling the way that UFC presents MMA. That there's fights, there's rankings, there's weight classes, there's you know, media scrums where talent's being interviewed, and it's obviously put together. It's not actual media, but it just, the way it's presented makes it more look more the way that sports are presented. I mean, you, if you're a UFC fan, you can watch a UFC pay-per-view and then watch the press conference afterwards on online. I think they usually stream it on their YouTube channel or on their website. And a lot of times that's where stories are set in motion for future fights. You know, there's a press conference and someone challenges someone or someone calls out someone. That's how a lot of it works. And it's just they've taken that presentation and applied it to pro wrestling in such a fun way that it's I think if you're not watching it, you really enjoy it. So I would encourage people to check it out.
I would too. I mean, you know, I watch almost no WWE these days. I've just been burnt out and whatnot, and just, you won't get the frustration of all the Vince McMahon's quirks, how, you know, sports entertainment and things have to be said a certain way. So it feels so much more natural and doesn't seem like wrestlers are overly scripted. So again, if you're fed up with WWE, give them a chance.
Yeah. The other cool thing too is if you don't have beIN Sports, they put all of their shows on YouTube and they premiere on Saturday night at 6:05.
Oh, that is cool.
That's awesome.
Oh, okay. I've been watching it on Mondays. I hadn't even looked at the time, and there's no commercials, so it's just like 50 minutes of straight wrestling.
Yeah, no, totally. I think it's awesome. But anyway, anything else we should hit on before we wrap this up for this week?
I don't think so. I think we summed things up nicely. Check out pwpodcast.com. We got a ton of new stuff up there the past couple days. I'd kind of been out of town, so Jeff Rush kind of took over and put up a bunch of cool things, so I kind of need to get caught up myself on what's going on. But check that out. Otherwise, if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm Andrew, S-O-U-C-E-K.
You can follow me on Twitter at Mike at Torch McMahon. I changed it. I got to remember. At Torch McMahon. And then just a quick programming note. We don't know what's going to happen next week. We may be late on our show next week. Stay tuned to Twitter, and we'll find out soon and let everybody know. But there might just be the show might be slightly late next week, or maybe over the weekend or something like that. But I don't think many people are listening live at midnight anyway, Andrew. Not many people are watching Impact Live at 10, so I can't imagine many people are listening live at midnight.
I'd be very curious who is all staying up with us.
Hey, if you are, we appreciate it. Trust me.
Yeah, like, thank you.
By all means, we encourage people to listen live. That's not what we're saying. It's just, you know, I want to beIN in bed right now, so I'm sure other people want to beIN in bed too.
Right.
Maybe, hey, you know, this is weird, but I wonder if people go to sleep listening to the live cast.
I just had that thought, and I never thought that before. There's got to be somebody out there just dozing off, listening to
it. There's got to be someone out there in the world where we are the last voices they hear before they go into sleep for the night.
Wow.
We're haunting your dreams. I have Allie's soul.
Cheeks. The flying Elvises.
It gets wacky at 1 a.m.
It really does. Yes.
All right. On that note, we will let Allie's soul rest for the rest of the week. And that will do it for this week's edition of the Thursday Livecast. So thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading the show. If you're doing it on Friday or over the weekend, we appreciate it as always. And Andrew and I will talk to you next week, either live or slightly delayed, on the Thursday Livecast, talking Impact Wrestling here at pwtorchlivecast.com.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, this show can be ad-free and commercial-free with a VIP membership. VIP members not only enjoy all 7 episodes of the PW Torch Livecast with no commercials and the ads and plugs edited out, but they also get ad-free additions to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling post shows and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling podcast. Also, part of a VIP membership and exclusive shows such as the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline, the 3 times a week Bruce Mitchell audio show, including a new weekly mailbag edition with Bruce, The Fix with Todd Martin that I also host, post-pay-per-view roundtables that I host, and other shows on specific topics, including the new Talking Honor podcast with Lola and Harley discussing the latest in ROH, including a review of the latest TV show. And now we are proud to announce that Alan Cunahan, known as Alan4L, has brought his talents to PW Torch after many years at The Observer, And there's a lot of excitement about his new weekly show called Alan 4L's Pro Wrest Paradise, with the best coverage of New Japan, all of Japan, the UK indie scene, including the US indie scene. So be sure to become a PW Torch VIP member for as little as $8.25 a month on average, and have multiple new VIP exclusive and ad-free podcasts every day on customizable feeds on your iPhone and Android device. For more information and our sign-up form, go to pwtorch.com/govip, and you'll find out what else comes with VIP membership, including a weekly newsletter, over 1,500 back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter that started it all, ad-free access to our mobile and desktop sites, and more. Full lineup, full details, and the sign-up form at pwtorch.com/govip.